And good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Sober Trading. And I'm here with my co-host, Dave Allen, this fine Monday morning of April 6th, 2020. Good afternoon, Dave.
Hey, Melody.
It's great to have you here. It's great to be here. And I want to thank all the listeners for joining us today. I think there's a lot to talk about today. And so let's just go ahead and get to the market report. Today, gold. Oh, not now, computer. Don't do this to me now. Let's get to gold. Don't you just love live radio? Gold today had a really nice day, up $40, 2.5%, $1,662.80. Silver is up 62 pennies at 1510. Yay, it broke over 15. Platinum was up $16 at 747. Palladium was down 2%, $44 at 22.24, and rhodium was down 1,000, down 22%. Glad you're not holding on to that, anyone. So let's take a look at the dollar, and that was the dollar strength. And again, I've been talking about the gold pulling away from the dollar. It certainly is creating a trend. Can you only imagine where it's going to go when the dollar begins to fall? The dollar will fall. Governments do not, contrary to what they tell you, do not like strong dollars. Our government does not like a strong dollar. The only one that I know that likes a strong dollar is Larry Kudlow. He loves a strong dollar. But you have the dollar back over 100, 100.78. And to see gold up $40, it's a good day in gold. Crude oil was down 1.97 at 26.37. Heard that the meeting between Russia and the Saudis was delayed, although there might be a deal. But again, 10 to 15 million barrels a day isn't going to cut it. They need more like 30. So again, we'll see where that's headed, and it's probably a little too late in order for it to have any major or credible rebound at this late date, along with everything else that's happening around the world with governments shut down, none online. The only one basically online so far, I guess, would be China. You know, and they sell to the world. They don't buy much from the world, but they sell to the world. Anyway, let's see what the stock markets are doing. They were up pretty strong this morning, 1627 on the Dow, up almost 8% at 22,697. The NASDAQ was up 540 at 7,913. The S&P was up 175, 2,663. Not a bad day. The paper markets, that's what happens when you get the... Can you imagine what gold would do if they pumped in trillions of dollars into the gold market? Well, paper market isn't any different. That's all. And these are all the guys buying on the dips. It's just these are the guys buying on the dips. Anyway, you know, people who buy on the dips can't see or don't see the big picture. They don't see what's coming down the path. That this is just, you shut down world governments and everything is just automatically going to reverse. Like everything is back to being okay again. Trillions of dollars globally, trillions and trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars being pumped into these systems. Doesn't anybody think that there's going to be we already expected a day of reckoning coming from the trillions of dollars that have already been pumped into these markets. Now you add trillions and trillions more. And there isn't going to be any sort of a whiplash from that. It's just going to be okay, the taxpayers. I mean, who pays? They keep printing and printing. We always said they print until the cows come home. Baby, the cows are home. Came in the front of the barn, and maybe they're going out the back of the barn. I don't know. It's just unbelievable. The world markets, this is all orchestrated. This is all timed. Japan up 4%. His announcement. Abe's announcement. Billions and billions and trillions of dollars going into their stimulus. Hong Kong up 2%. London up 3%. Germany up almost 6%. Just on a little bit of hope. But it's all paper. It's worthless. It's all promises to pay. It's all promise to pay on debt. Because it's debt that's pushing these markets higher. If you look at the sector performance, I don't know, maybe they need to update those numbers that I see here on this business page. Maybe they didn't update them today because they all show negative. So I can't imagine that they wouldn't have updated them. What emotion is driving the market? Well, we're at 27, so that's not as bad as 5 and 8 as where we were. But that's all you need. You just remove any fear that everything is going to be okay. We should have hope. There should be some hope out there. But it's not going to be on the dollar. It's not going to be on the stock market. Just wait till these numbers start coming out. I guess 10 million people, and the promises of 30% negative GDP, I guess those estimates just don't mean anything. Good grief almighty. Anyway, Dee. Sorry. it's just as maddening as listening to what I hear from what people, and everybody has an opinion, and that's okay. And it's good to read. It's good to do research. But I can always tell when people don't. That they're just as much as a follower of certain people and certain websites and certain information that comes out on the internet. Just as much followers. If you don't read anything contrary, how can you get an opinion? Jeez. And I see that in the gold and silver market. Oh, you only want American coins. Well, you know what? I beg to differ. They're there if you can get them. They're there if you can get pay for them at a decent price. They're there if you don't have to wait a month for delivery or more. So then if they're not there, what are you going to do? Hold on to your money? Hold on to your fiat dollars? And wait, well, that's good. While it loses purchasing power, and gold runs up, silver runs up. No, you take what's next. And then the next time you buy, if they're available, then you go back to buying them. You don't wait. The stuff about if they confiscate, you won't be able to have. Foreign coins, like there's something wrong with Canadian maple leaves or kangaroos, Australian kangaroos. That's crazy. Every coin has a purpose and a place in a portfolio. And so what if they did come out and say that? You just sell it back into the market, get the current rate of exchange. It's no big deal. That's less of a deal than if you waited to buy because there weren't silver eagles or there weren't gold eagles. Good grief. It isn't about buying a particular product. It's about eliminating those fiat dollars and buying some real money, converting that fake money into real money. That's what it's about. It's not about paying, $10 above spot for a silver eagle. Those aren't smart decisions. Good grief. Anyway, I didn't mean to go off, but I hear these things and they just... It's like, where does this stuff come from? From people who only got into this market after 2008. Yeah, there's some that's been there longer. But always check the agenda. I don't care. It's anyway, I'm done. Let's go ahead and talk about where were we, Dave? Get me off my
You just finished the market report.
All righty. So anyway, this is supposed to be a crucial week, you know, and don't get me started on that. You know, we don't have all the information, granted, and continue to learn, continue to read, and I'll be on my soapbox when I know everyone is safe. But you just don't take things. You have to pay attention. Be responsible. Be considerate. Be compassionate. We can say I told you so after the fact. But in the meantime, and it's just amazing. We live in a world where it's like everybody has to be right. We live in a world where it's all about me. And, you know, that's been going along for a long time. So, yeah, settle down. You know, it irritates me. Yeah, do I like these stay-at-home laws? No, I don't. But I'm not going to go out there and just ignore them. Why would anybody do that? But yet I know a lot of people do. I have a neighbor. He's one of them. Irritates me. We have a nice little community down here on the Eastern Shore, you know. People have second homes. They live up in the big cities, and then they come down here on the weekends. Hey, stay home. Don't bring your germs down here. Stay at home. When it's over, then come down and, you know. But you can't tell people that, but that's what I think. Anyway, let's go on. Anyway, this is supposed to be our worst week. We still have 9 governors so far have refused to issue statewide stay-at-home orders. And there's just a lot of, but everybody seems to pay attention to what the doctors say. And I think that's what we should do, pay attention to what the doctors say. So what say you, Dave?
Well, we know that 300 million people, give or take, across 41 states, Puerto Rico and D.C., have been ordered to stay home as the coronavirus continues to spread its wings. Arkansas, Iowa, Nebraska, North Dakota, South Dakota, Oklahoma, South Carolina, Utah, Wyoming. There are the exceptions. Now, parts of the latter four states, South Carolina, Utah, Wyoming, and Oklahoma, do have several cities and counties that are subject to stay-at-home or shelter-in-place orders. But other than that, now granted, most of those areas are much more rural in character than, say, a lot of or most of virtually all of the major cities across the country. But having said that, there are pockets in each of those states that are highly dense that hopefully, the people there are not going to pay for their governors, state legislatures, and frankly, their own ignorance of by ignorance, I mean ignoring the threats of being close together. Now, Dr. Anthony Fauci, who doesn't need much of a introduction these days, suggested late last week that a national lockdown was needed to slow the spread of the virus from here. Of course, the president has been reluctant to do so, putting that onus or keeping that onus on the states. Jerome Adams, Surgeon General, advised Americans to start wearing cloth face coverings when they're out in public. And that's to help curb the spread of the virus. That was as recommended by the CDC last Friday. The big news in that respect, as Adam said, we now know that about one quarter, and in some studies even more, of COVID-19 is transmitted when you are asymptomatic or pre-symptomatic. That is, you're not showing any of the major symptoms. And that's that's what drove the recommendation for people to start wearing these cloth face coverings when they're out in public. As Melody said at the outset, ladies and gentlemen, beware. Tune in. And don't take this for granted, because in doing so, you're taking your life, your family's life for granted as well.
Let's go ahead. We got about 2 minutes left. Let's go ahead and talk a little bit about the meeting of OPEC and its allies. It was originally, or members, it was originally scheduled for today, and they did move it to Thursday. As global oil producers are, you know, are continuing to try to reach an agreement to cut production. President Trump said he didn't think he would need to impose tariffs on imported oil to protect domestic producers, but said he would do so if he had to. One Russian policymaker said that his country and Saudi Arabia are very, very close to the deal, as I mentioned earlier, and at the same time, some analysts suggest that even a cut of an output by around 10 million barrels a day is just not going to be enough. You know, and I said 30, now they're talking about 35 million barrels. Another day with global governments shut down, you know, you can bump that 35 million up to 40 and maybe 50. And that's not going to happen, Dave.
Don't see that happening. Let's see what else is going on in Japan. Shinzo Abe's government is going to deploy a two-phase stimulus package to help workers and businesses in that country as the Abe gets set to introduce various states of emergency in the worst-hit areas. He's already begun declaring national emergency. Singapore unveiled a third package of economic support measures. The government in Spain is looking to roll out basic income in the near future. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi said she hopes to introduce the fourth stimulus package in the U.S. later this month. And EU finance ministers are set to meet tomorrow to reach a consensus on proposals for a Eurozone bailout.
Of course. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Please stay tuned, and thank you for listening to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio. TruthAndEducationRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Make sure you visit the website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com, and, of course, sign up for our weekly newsletter. And, you know, we were trying to put together a special today. We do have some AU $5 Liberty Gold pieces. We do have some 90% silver. It's a nice little package. I didn't have a chance to price them out, though. 4 o'clock just came around. 4 o'clock Eastern just came around too quick today. So, but we have them. We'll put together a little package for you, and we'll try to save you money with a deep, you know, since we've had such a huge increase in gold today. And let me just go ahead and go over those numbers once again. In the New York spot price aftermarket, you do have gold down a couple bucks since we started the show, still up $38 at $16.60, and silver is at $15.10. So, again, a great day for gold and silver. And I also think, I'm going to say it again, it's pulling away from that dollar. The strength in the dollar doesn't seem to have a lot of impact, because I think everybody knows where the dollar is headed. And a strong dollar is not good for business, Dave. And everybody knows it. And, you know, when the dollar is too good, it hurts the multinational corporations. It hurts the businesses here. It hurts a lot of things, Dave. Could you just... touch on that briefly, please.
Well, it does. We're hearing different things from different folks about this, but by and large, consensus is that the dollar right now is just too good. Situation like now, everyone's desperate for dollars because their debt, which is growing leaps and bounds, is denominated in it. National government revenue falling off a cliff. Here in the States, only the Fed can create currency out of thin air. And to some, it seems growingly more and more possible that the coronavirus crisis could mark the very early beginning of the end of the U.S. dollar's global singular role. Now, I know we've heard that off and on over the years, but at least, you know, on the margins, U.S. and other countries are seeking to bring back more manufacturing after the logistical gaps that this crisis has exposed, coming on the heels of multiple trade wars. Tourism is going to go way down for a long time. Furthermore, export-dependent countries around the world will have just seen their dollar-based revenues get incinerated in a matter of a few weeks. And that may lead to a rethinking of export-dependent growth models. Now, with Facebook, you can actually delete your account and find some other way to share photos, like email. You probably just have a smaller circle of family and friends. And so it is with world trade. If you want to tighten your circle, either in terms of your source of goods or money, i.e. dollars, your need to borrow and hold dollars may become a little less important, and for some, a lot less. On the other hand, your need to hold gold and silver may just become even more important than it normally is. For all your precious metal needs, call us 1-800-375-4188.
Dave, we have a good friend, Ivan, who calls into the program often, and we always want to welcome him and thank him for taking the time out. Good afternoon, Ivan.
Good afternoon, Melody and Dave.
Hi.
How are you doing?
Hello.
Good. Oh, great.
Yeah. Keeping away from those viruses or the bugs?
Trying to.
So far, trying so good.
To. Good. Good. Yeah, I have a question. Maybe Dave can put some spotlight on it. There is a discussion between Russia and Saudi Arabia about the oil fighting, you know, going on back and forth as far as they are both producing, but they supposedly will be negotiating now. I understand that Trump did step in. I don't know if he, but that he spoke with both of them and they said they agreed. But then this morning I heard that Russia is willing to drop one. I guess they are talking about $10 billion or ten million barrels a day, or is it 10 million?
I don't 10 million.
But 10 million, okay. And Russia said that they agreed to, they would reduce it by 1 million. Saudi is supposed to be reducing by some, but they want U.S. to reduce the shale oil by, the rest of that, you know. So from what I heard between yesterday, when Trump was talking about, the coronavirus and also the oil, as somebody, some reporter asked. So is it that triumvirate who's supposed to be working on it, U.S., Russia, and Saudi? Or because from what I got from Trump's saying, it was that he's not involved, in a sense. You know, he said he tried to negotiate or something, but he doesn't want to get involved because they said, well, we are supposed to be self-sufficient, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, the problem is with taking the oil from the ground and then pumping water or whatever in to, you know, to get it out. Mm-hmm. There might be some impact on the water aquifer and so on. So what are your thoughts, or what can you update me on, this whole situation?
Melody, you want to take a stab first?
No, I mean, it's until they actually have their meeting and come to terms, but they were supposed to have some sort of a meeting today, but we talked about it just a little bit ago that it was extended until Thursday to later on in the week. So whether they come to an agreement before that or not remains to be seen. It doesn't seem like, and I'm one of those things in there where we were supposed to cut back our oil, and I'm not sure if that's going to happen, but...
I think the problem for the U.S., and it could be that the president may have made a tactical error by inserting himself in the process, the negotiating process, mm-hmm. between Saudi Arabia and Russia. And we're neither Melody nor I are privy to the details of those talks, but I think it's entirely plausible that some U.S. official got to our president and said, be careful how you posture the U.S. position in this, because our U.S. companies have potentially a great deal to lose in this. There really are pros and cons to higher versus lower oil prices. In terms of both profits to the oil companies, out-of-pocket expenses to households, consumers, incentives or disincentives to drive and pollute the air, if you will. But I think the fact that the U.S. is essentially independent of foreign oil now, not completely and all the time, but Some statistics suggest that we are certainly as close to being independent as we ever have been. And the fact that, in a couple of states where the production of oil and gas through fracking has always been controversial to a certain extent. I live in Pennsylvania. The Marcellus Reserve is predominant in part of our state, big part of our state. And, you know, there's always this push and shove between those who believe that the tax revenue, on the one hand, is great for the state government. The revenues derived from, you know, the final product, the drilled product, is good for American consumers because we don't have to depend on more expensive foreign oil. So, long story short, I think that creates a dilemma for the U.S. In terms of how we insert ourselves in these negotiations, because, you know, to the extent that, you know, they say, well, why isn't the U.S. leading by example here? We start cutting our production to a large extent, then we're going to see prices go up for the consumers again.
Plus, the other thing is, I live in Pennsylvania too, so. The fracking approach, they have a cutoff cost, there is a cost, you know, associated with per barrel of oil, extracted. So I don't remember now what the cost is. And if they go below it, they will be losing money. And I agree that, you know, we want to be independent, but through fracking, it's a little bit more, a little bit dirtier, you know, so to speak.
That's right.
You know,
that's been a big issue in southeastern Pennsylvania, where I live. There have been some breaks in the lines. That have occurred, not just southeastern PA. There's been some in upper central as well that have been responsible for contaminating nearby water wells and other aquifers. So it's certainly a controversial process.
I mean, the other thing that I cannot understand now, a few months back, and I don't know if you... reserves are totally full, okay? That's what was being said, you know. And now we are, what was said by the president was that he is going to buy the cheaper oil and fill up the reserves, you know. So, a little contradiction there. So, I don't know what... which way the wind blows as far as the, you know, using the fracking oil and, you know, filling up the reserves, or buying the cheap oil from Russia or Saudi or wherever, to fill them up. So this is that's a question which I think needs to be gotten, and I don't know how much. What is a breaking point? Do you know, Finn, Dave, as far as per barrel they have to have? Is it $40, $35, or $50? Or I don't think it's 20. What it used to be, I think it's 26 today. Or something.
Honestly don't know the answer to that question.
Okay.
I know the reserve itself, I think, has capacity for about 800 million barrels.
Mm-hmm. So the question is, I mean, if we have the reserves are filled, fine, but if not, I think the whole thing comes to the manpower, okay? Because if they close down the the fracking or part half of it, you will have a lot of unemployment because it takes quite a it's a more manpower oriented, fracking versus a regular oil pump station in the middle of the in an ocean or Gulf or wherever,
Yeah, not only more manpower in general, but working very closely together, on the other side of the social distancing guidelines. They're certainly working closer than 6 to 8 feet apart from one another.
Yeah, that's true. That's another good point. Yeah, absolutely. So,
well, the problem with all these oil companies is they've got too much debt, and that's why that's why they're really. And this just goes to show again when things are going fine and they try to manipulate the price and try to keep everything the same, nice and easy. They try to do this nice little balance and so forth. But as soon as they can't do it. They can't do it for any extended period of time because you have these things that happen. And then all of a sudden you have countries that are at spats and this and that. Russia has their own agenda. Who do they sell their gas to? They're trying to do that pipeline from Russia down through North Korea down to South. I mean, it's so much of a bigger picture. And I think they just keep us focused on all these little, on these details and how does it all come into play? And you're right. You think our government should like lower gasoline prices, but they don't because you got these oil companies who have debt and they can't survive. So heck with the guy who has to heat his home. Heck with the guy who puts gasoline in his vehicle. Heck with the guy who, pays for it all. Let those prices rise. But, hey, we got to help these oil companies that have a lot of debt, and if they get a little hiccup, they go out of business. Well, you know what? Maybe some of them should.
Well, that should be the whole thing of capitalism is stronger to survive, or smarter to work and survive, that way if there is a downturn in market.
Hey, we're out of this segment. We're heading into a break, and did you have anything else you want to continue after the break, or?
No, that's okay. I just want to contribute
these
points.
I'm glad you did.
And,
Alrighty. Alrighty, thank you, Ivan. Listeners, we'll be right back. Thank you.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today. complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231. And the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival. We're heading into the last segment of the program today. And our weekly newsletter, American Survival Newsletter, will be heading out in your email box later today. We don't have hard copies. You have to have an email address. You can go to the website, sign up for it. And Dave always has an article in there. Wendy Wilson always has an article in there. We usually have other articles. I also have market reports, but for the past 3 weeks, there's just no way I've been able to do the market report. So I slipped up, ladies and gentlemen. I thought it was much more important to get your orders out, get them shipped and processed, than to do a market report for our newsletter. So hopefully, maybe we'll get back to it next week. Maybe. And I'll try to get we'll try to go from the last one to see what changes. It'll be interesting to see how gold and silver has changed over the last 3 weeks. And we talked about this on this program before, about the small business provisions in the stimulus bill. I don't like calling it CARES Act. It's a stimulus bill. That's what it is. Stimulus bill. To keep things going and to get $350 billion to small businesses. And I guess there's some issues that the banks are beginning to have, Dave.
Well, that's true. With the business benefit application window barely open last Friday, too big to fail banks stepped right up, began threatening to disrupt the program over their concerns about taking on too much financial and legal risk. That's incredibly ironic, but we won't get into that aspect of it in detail anyway today. Their main fear, supposedly, is that the Treasury Department expects lenders to verify the eligibility of borrowers, applicants, and to take steps to prevent fraud, money laundering, and protect customer information under the 9/11 era Bank Secrecy Act. Thus, banks are worried they could face regulatory penalties or legal costs if things go awry in the White House's goal to get that money out the door quickly.
So what would be nice if they would eliminate the Bank Secrecy Act? That's what they should do. You know? But so they're going to be in trouble that they could get blamed for not moving these funds fast enough?
Well, yeah. I mean, they always are. The vast majority of larger loan applications, anyway, they perform due diligence. And they're afraid that, you know, if they don't get the money out the door quickly, as in right away, under these programs, under the Stimulus Act 3.0, that they're going to be fined. After hearing the bank's concerns, Treasury officials actually are considering withdrawing the guidance that instructs lenders to verify that borrowers had the specified number of employees on their books and that their other costs are legitimate. I mean, no one's certain which specific banks are considering this boycott, but the Bank Policy Institute, which hosted a conference call with Treasury officials last week, counts these banks among its members. The usual suspects, we'll call them, J.P. Morgan Chase, Bank of America, Wells Fargo, and Citigroup. The BPI, the Institute, say the big boys want the government to provide a boilerplate document that customers can sign
certifying their eligibility and other requirements, sort of a hold harmless clause that would relieve the banks of any responsibility for potential misconduct by a company that receives these federal funds.
I don't know what they're worried about. Most of them are going to be turned into grants anyway, right?
Well, yeah, a lot of them under the small business provisions of the stimulus bill, in fact, are forgivable under certain circumstances. The biggest, you know, the bigger piece, the $350 billion piece, is one of them.
Well, you summarize for listeners the main provisions in this, in the news, and we're only going to touch on these. And again, ladies and gentlemen, sign up, and you can read them all, particularly if you have a small business. And I do know that you also have to go to your own branch. You can't go to any bank. You got to go to your – that's what I don't understand. If these banks are having a problem, it's their own customers already.
Correct.
So what do they have to squawk about? They should already know their customer.
Bank of America is chief among them, who today was pushing back further. But a lot of it, they say, is the ambiguity of the regulations that have, or the guidance that has been put out by Treasury and the Small Business Administration about this. So, you know, as straightforward as it was meant to be, it apparently isn't so. I wonder, however, if this isn't just a smokescreen being put up by these big banks who, frankly, might not have had, feel they didn't have enough time to support these thousands of applications that are already coming through, and so they're looking for possibly a delay. At least they don't want to be blamed for the delay in the funds getting into the hands of these small business owners.
So they got to protect their image, like they have an image to protect.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
All right. So check it out later today, American Survival Newsletter, ladies and gentlemen.
Now, the one I did think is the Paycheck Protection Program, where is that part of the $350 billion dollars for? But you got to remember too, Dave. Then you had the big multinational corporations. Isn't that $500 billion that was given?
Yeah, that's.
So this
that's,
is just small business.
That's separate and apart. This is just for businesses that hire less than 500 employees. It's largely irrespective of revenues, although they do come into play. But yeah, Paycheck Protection Program, the PPP, provides cash flow that's equal to 250% of a company's average monthly payroll, up to a maximum of $10 million. You know, that can be used to pay for employees' salaries, health benefits, mortgage interest, not principal, rent, utilities, and a few other specified costs. And yeah, this is the part of the program that forgives up to 8 weeks of payroll. That's based on a company's employee retention and salary levels. There are no SBA fees and at least 6 months of payment deferral, with maximum deferrals of up to a year. So,
what do you think is in the details on this, the fine print? Is there anything a business should be aware of before going in and signing on the dotted line, or the banks? If it's converted into a grant, that's one thing, but these loans will be payable. They do have to pay them back.
They will be payable. They're subject to a maximum 4% interest rate. The good news is here. Well, let me just say, here's the good news, and I'm going to put that in quotes, that both the SBA and the Department of Treasury have websites, and you can go to both of their websites, and you can see in big, clear letters, you know, the coronavirus stimulus. They word it differently, but also the Senate committee, U.S. Senate Committee on Small Business and Entrepreneurship, has an excellent guide on their website as well. There are links, direct links, in the newsletter article that if you're interested, particularly as an owner, you can go there. And the one guide in particular has just about every detail I can imagine you'd need in you know, deciding whether or not you want to apply for that, and you know what the potential benefits versus consequences are.
And again, we're no fan. Well, it sounds like a great article. So again, for you guys with small businesses, and I remember my bank manager in State College during the 2008. I mean, it's true. I mean, the government was there to hand out money. The government called him, said, "How much do you need?" They said, "We don't need any." He says, "Well, how much do you want?" We don't want any. And then they says, "Well, this is what we're going to send you." And they didn't want it. And he said, "In fact, we got a one-page fax from the Treasury with the amount." He didn't tell me the amount, but it was a good-sized bank. It wasn't a too big to fail, but it was a good, strong local bank. And he says, they sent us the money. We didn't want it. So it just sat there. And then there was a time frame that went by, and we were able to give it back. He says, but when we had to give it back, he says, it was a book that we had to sign. He says, it was just page after page. Took one page to get it that they didn't want, and almost a book to sign to give it back. Mm. And it's just like, I don't know what all that meant, but it just goes to show what they'll do to keep things going. And there's so much that goes on behind the scenes that we'll never know, and just how close everything comes to a collapse. And by doing the things that they did, you know, prevented or extended the collapse for another 10 years. So so J.P. Dimon, not a fan. You know, he's part of the problem. He's part of the system. He's part of the too bigs to fail. You know, and he gets every credit. And I don't know why people... You know, sometimes they say things that you should, you know, say, But he said this morning that there's going to be an extremely adverse downturn in the U.S. economy. We could figure that one out when you have world governments, world economies shutting down. Yeah, there's going to be a pretty big extreme adverse effect in the U.S. economy. But they're considering suspending its dividend to preserve capital. So that's what, I mean, this is just the start of it. For folks with your retirement accounts, that you get your dividends, you're going to either see them deeply decreased or eliminated. And the biggest too big to fail U.S. banks by assets, they have entered this induced crisis, the virus-induced crisis, from a position of strength, and has shown in previous Fed stress tests that it can weather a recession, he said. But in a more severe, extreme, adverse scenario, happens with a 35% decline in gross domestic product and an unemployment at 14%. Yeah, there's gonna be some tough decisions. There's gonna be some tough impacts. And of course, he's talking about the dividend. And so he says our bank cannot be immune to the effects of this kind of stress. Now, this is J.P. Morgan, the biggest. What do you think of all these other little banks out there? What do you think they're going through? How much does this debt of people's debt and business, I mean, it's how much debt is going to be defaulted on? I can't see a V recovery, Dave.
No.
Talking about.
A multi wing W maybe, but it's certainly going to be oddly shaped. You know, the good news is for smaller community banks, on the one hand, just because of their smaller asset size, they have lesser room for error than these giants, the big boys, as we call them, the too big to fails. On the other hand, I wish I remembered this statistic. On the other hand, the vast majority of them have shown that they're a lot more prudent when it comes to lending small businesses in their communities and individuals, couples, families who take out mortgages and other personal loans, that the bulk, the vast majority of bad loans, particularly the type that were sold, securitized back prior to the financial crisis, are by the bigger banks. So let's hope that, you know, for relatively speaking, you know, if anyone comes out of this less unscathed, let's hope it's the smaller banks who, by and large, make better decisions on a day in day out basis than their bigger counterparts.
Well, I'm sure there's some few ones out there that do a good job, you know. But then you also have to see what they invested in and where their investments are coming from, you know. And if they're holding a lot of treasuries and so forth, I mean, you're going to have a lot of pressure on these state and local governments. These state governments, I can't even imagine. So, and you're going to have, you will have that trickle-down effect. So, a lot of uncertainties out there. So, what do you want when things are uncertain? You want your gold and silver, so give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. We're out of time. Thank you, Dave. Thank you, listeners. We'll be back tomorrow. Until then, be safe, good night, and God bless.
Bye-bye.
I have a plan. If I got me a wealthy